The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. 7 o'clock. John, Lance, and Dell for the next 2.5 hours. Raheel joins us at 9. How you doing, man? You had an interesting day yesterday.
Yeah, sushi lunch was great. I spent it over at Top Sushi having some lunch at about 1:30. And beginning of the lunch, I finally got my stuff. I took my first bite. Ring Sirius XM. James Lofton and Bruce Murray. I was like, damn it. Forgot I booked this. Guess I won't be eating lunch for about 20 minutes. So I got up, did that hit. It's actually a pretty good hit. And then I checked Twitter real quick. So I sit down. I'm about to put on my Netflix. Although I'm done with Wild Wild Country, so I got to find something new to binge on. And it appears that somebody with a blue check mark, an old prospect that I wrote up, Matt Judon, who is an outside linebacker, rush backer for the Baltimore Ravens. He was not happy with, he said, in his exact quote, I'll pull it up here for you. Matt Judon said on Twitter, guys, don't listen to your critics, because at Lance Zierlein basically said I was trash out of college.
Well,
so then Matt Judon's people, who are, just basically just fringe Ravens fans, decided to come after me. So I made sure, I was like, did I call him? I said, I know these guys all get salty because of anything you put in the weaknesses column. they believe they're flawless. Well, every athlete believes he's flawless, and there is no self-awareness to anything that is a flaw.
Square-shouldered rusher who can be run up and around the quarterback by tackles with decent feet and strength, will miss out on some finishes due to some lower body stiffness, cruises along without making proper use of hands, level of competition along offensive line is substantially lower than what he will see in pros, tore an ACL 2 years ago and missed East-West Shrine Game invitation due to tweaked meniscus.
Here's what I said in my bottom line. This is my bottom line of what
small
kind of player
school
is.
Wonder with monster production over the last two seasons, despite an admitted stretch of timidness after returning from an ACL tear that robbed him of his 2013 season. Judon has an NFL frame, rushes the quarterback with a plan, and he is still very raw from a technical standpoint and is still a project at this juncture. Judon has enough talent to warrant a draft pick, but will need time to find his way as a pro.
He retours ACL. And he didn't really do much for the he didn't do anything his first year, and then he's had 12 sacks over 2 years. So he's had 12 sacks over 3 years, one of them in ACL.
Well, did you say he was going to be the best outside linebacker in the game?
No, and that's probably one of my faults. I didn't call him the best in the game. Now, to be fair, either did his own brethren who vote for the Pro Bowl, either did any writers who vote for All-Pro. But they also basically are calling him trash when they don't vote him for All Pro. As you can see, I crushed him in my scouting report.
Right.
Just completely annihilated him. And in there, if you read closely enough, you can see I basically called him trash. So,
to be clear, John read something, but he kind of made it up because really John had to extrapolate from the trash and poo emojis
right.
He wrote for Matt Judon's bottom line, and John had to find a way to make it into a sentence.
Right.
Yeah, it was just nothing.
Well, I didn't finish.
There was a trash can on fire is what the last thing
right.
I write.
Yeah. He find his way as a pro. He will be trash
yep.
now yep. and forever. Lance Zierlein.
Plus poo emoji.
Plus poo emoji. Yep.
So Matt Judon came after you because you trashed him. And so any of the guys, any of the prospects out there just can't believe you. You lost all credibility.
Don't listen to your critics because a guy in Houston will call you trash.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But you need to overcome that. And
look,
persevere.
Become the best in the game like me, Matt Judon. Did Lance Zierlein say I would be the best in the game?
Well,
no.
No one else has either, to be honest.
Am I the best in the game?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Okay.
How come you didn't say he was the next Lawrence Taylor, Lance?
I know. Well, it's because I was bashing him because he went to a small school.
Clearly.
Well, clearly, yes. When you are ripping him, when you say level of competition, a concern.
Yeah, so he told me, he came back. So I screen cap what he said, and I screen cap my bottom line for the internet to see, since he put it out there for the internet to see that I called him trash. So I said, I called you trash, ? Man, these feelings, ... And when people read that, they're like, ooh, this is a really bad look, Matt. This doesn't look like he's calling you trash, to be honest. Will Brinson from CBS goes, I don't say these nice things about my own family members. and then he said, well, as you said that I had my level of competition. I said, Matt, I say that about, that's a default that I write about every Division II or Division III or NAIA prospect I have to write, because you don't know, first of all, the tape. Your level of competition, the players are typically smaller and not as quick and not as strong. You're not, especially at that position. Sometimes you'll find corners and wide receivers from there. Every once in a while, running back, you'll find some Carson Wentzes from time to time. Offensive line-wise, that's something you don't find a lot of.
Well, that's a concern any smaller school.
Yeah, yeah, you have to prove that you can step up.
You should write that about anybody in Conference USA. Yeah, quite frankly.
Well, it depends. I mean, sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll write. I wrote it about D.D. Westbrook from Oklahoma. Well, two years ago,
because there are no good defensive players in the Big 12.
I looked at the secondaries. I looked at the defenses. I'm like, there's no dudes that he's playing against. Yeah. I looked at every competition he had, and I had to mention that he cruised through the Big 12 with a bad level of competition against, and wasn't challenged by defensive backs and terrible defenses. So. Yeah, so he got salty. It wasn't a good look for him, because when I put what he said and what my actual comments were, it just highlights that these guys are, look, no one likes to be criticized. No one likes to be criticized. No. And these players look at my scouting reports I do as criticism. They see the weaknesses. I noticed this early on. My dad told me Marcus Golden was pissed off at me. Marcus Golden played for Arizona. That was my very first year. He was probably one of the first 60 prospects I wrote out of 2000 now. And so I'm still learning what I'm doing. Marcus Golden has been a pretty decent pro, solid pro. I don't think he's been great. Marcus Golden apparently got so mad at my scouting report that he printed it and he has it in his locker room, in his locker, and he uses this as motivation.
Did you use the poo emoji for him?
I didn't use the poo emoji for him. It's the old dreaded face-up rusher thing again. I guess guys don't like hearing that they're not super flexible and bendy, and they're not. I think they all believe they're Von Miller with the way that they can corner real tight with those flexible ankles, and they're really not.
I do think it was a little harsh when you said anyone who drafts him should DIAF. Die in a fire.
Yeah.
I think that was a little harsh in your breakdown. A little of him. Bit.
But that, I mean. Look, I, like I said, I'm still learning.
If you think he's any good, you should EAD.
Or yes, yeah. Those were harsh, but I was still learning at that time. So I got to tell you, man, that was a little strange. And then, of course, Baltimore fans who aren't reading, they don't read my scouting report or anything.
Look, we buried the lead here. Now this guy has left Twitter. And
one guy calls me. No, you didn't mention. So one guy who has zero followers, he follows 12.
That's what I'm talking about.
And he is a troll.
We buried it.
So this guy goes, you are, I can't even
we
get
can't
a tweet.
We can't find it because he's gone.
He basically goes, he sees this and he goes, you are a complete waste of vapor space. You are trash, yada, yada, bye, bitch. And I'm like,
the greatest line in the entire thing is,
oh no, yeah, slave columnist.
He calls
you
a slave columnist.
He calls me a slave columnist.
Wait a minute.
A slave trade columnist.
You're a slave trade columnist?
I'm a slave columnist because I said Matt Judon played lower level competition, I guess. That's part of the way I'm able to keep the slave trade going.
No, it's because you write on a sport that will bring. That creates a meat market type environment.
Yes.
And they check the length of their...
No, because he kept going back and forth, and this guy was not smart. He's apparently a police officer or works for fire department or something. He kept going on.
Are you saying police officers aren't smart enough?
Did he just call police officers stupid?
No.
Is that what you just said?
No, he's a civil servant, he claimed. Somebody else said, you work on a food truck, dude. Stop saying you help people every day. So anyway, and he loves Jesus. That's in his bio. He's a big Jesus follower, which I said, look, Jamar. His name was Jamar in his handle, which was pretty much a burner account. I said, look, Jamar, the sports guru, Jesus never told somebody, bye, bitch. And he said, well, but he had the same sentiment at the temple. And somebody else goes, somebody else chimed in. He goes, no, Jesus was pissed because he had a fourth round grade on him. That's what that was about. He wasn't mad. So then it
Jesus
turned
into, did not have a fourth round grade. I never saw that in the Bible.
You don't know what Pontius Pilate really thought of him.
No, I know. No, I know Pontius Pilate didn't want to crucify him. I know that. He said, hey, why don't you guys
figure this
crucify
out.
Barabbas?
Yeah.
Barabbas is a seventh rounder. Jesus, first rounder. All right. Good Lord. Jesus had a fourth round grade. There's no way. You should. You know what? Then you are. Then you lost all credibility if you had Jesus as a fourth rounder.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we say the average lifespan of an NFL player is, what, 3-something years? Jesus had a little less in terms of.
In 33 of, years in terms okay, of religious, on this earth. Okay.
In terms of religious leader, about 3 years, actually.
Well.
Are y'all really going to scatter report on Jesus right now?
Yes.
Is that what y'all are doing? Chris said, oh, you left one else. You left something else out of his weakness column. You left out lack self-esteem. Apparently.
Well, no, he doesn't. No, so, he
but
doesn't.
Now, keep in mind now, this is at least four that I know of. It's Marcus Golden, Tease Tabor, Quincy Wilson, who really got salty. But that's because I put him in the reach column after the draft because they make me, my editors make me do an overrated or a reach. Who's the most, who's the steal and who's the reach for every team? And I'm like, guys, I really don't like doing this. Like I already said, I'm not doing grades. I'm not grading a test that's never been taken. Okay, then we need you to say which prospect was the biggest reach. I'm like, oh, really? So, of course, if any of these players read that they're the reach, they're not going to be happy about it. So Tease Tabor called me a hating ass grown man.
Do you?
Quincy Wilson basically said the same. Don't sweat him, bro. He been hating the whole time. Marcus Golden hates me and has printed up my scouting report. And now Matt, I'm gonna add Matt Judon.
You're
to
in
the
their
list.
Head. You're why in all their
you,
heads.
Why don't yes. you respond with "I didn't know I was written so much space in your head" every yeah. time someone yep. gets after you?
I know.
Do I need to pay you for all that space I'm taking up?
I didn't know I owed you that for, you know, for back rent. Sorry.
You know what I got from Joe Carmona, long snapper from who the Patriots drafted? He sent me a direct message saying, man, thanks for... No, it wasn't a direct message because I didn't have him open then. He said, man, thanks for writing up my scouting report. I can't believe you wrote up a long snapper. I have to. And you got drafted.
All right, 713 ESPN 97.5. Absolute marble and granite is what we're talking now. I need you to give a call to Jeff Aronoff and start the process. And the process, listen, you got the process in Philadelphia. What about the process here? I tell you what the process is Jeff Aronoff comes to your home. You guys sit down. You tell him exactly what you want to do. All right. He gets an idea of it. He helps you pick out whatever marble or tile or granite or countertop or whatever, vanity, whatever it is. He's got catalogs and you can prove and he can help you pick it out. And you may be a little timid, all right, like Matt Judon after his knee injury. You may be timid about picking out the right stuff. Well, Jeff Aronoff does this every day so he can give you a hand. And then he has his guys come. And they do all of the work, and then they get out of there, and you've got that new countertop or that new outdoor patio or that new vanity or that new fireplace, whatever it is that you're putting in. And Jeff Aronoff does a great job of it, and he does it at 20% off. So that's the process. So start the process by giving a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite. Tell them you heard right here and get that 20% off.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Good morning.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So what do you think the Rockets are right now to win the NBA championship? What's the odds?
I saw it the other day. I think they're plus one. I think they're even money.
Plus 160.
And the favorite is Golden State. I thought I saw plus 100. Maybe that was in the West. Actually, maybe it was West. Is Golden State the favorite at
Golden State is by far the favorite. To win the title, it's only plus 120.
Okay, so it was to win the West, they were minus 140, and the Rockets were even money. That's what I saw. And then third is Cleveland.
Odds to win. Warriors win championship plus 120. Won't win championship minus 160. Rockets plus 160 right now.
To win championship.
To win the championship. Nobody else is close.
So let me guess. It's going to go Warriors, Rockets, Cleveland, Toronto. Sixers or Spurs? Fifth. I'm going to go Sixers fifth.
4,000 plus 50. 76ers, 1,500. 15-1.
Fifth?
It goes Rocket. It goes Warriors, Rockets. Cleveland is 5-1, plus 500. And then it goes Raptors, plus 700. So, in other words, if you bet 100, you win 7. And then it goes, I believe, Philadelphia. These aren't in order. I'm just looking through them. It goes Philadelphia next, which all, that all makes sense. That's about where it should be. What about the Rockets? Okay, for the Timberwolves to win in a sweep, you would get 100-1. You bet $1, you win 100. You bet $10.
That's it?
100.
For the Timberwolves to win in a sweep.
Yes.
That should realistically be 700-1. Of course, you're never going to get good odds.
Or even money for the Rockets to win in a sweep.
In a sweep?
Rockets win 4-1, plus 130. Rockets win 4-2, plus 400. Rockets win in 7 games, plus 600. In other words, you win 600 if you bet 100. The most likely for the T-Wolves would be a 6-game win because, and that's 15-1, because that 6th game would be at home. So the odds go up for them to win in 7 games. But the Rockets, a heavy, heavy favorite, one of the biggest favorites on the board in this first round series. Ken McDougal would disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Ken McDougal thinks, watch this, watch out. It's been reported in Minneapolis that Tom Thibodeau has a secret plan to stop Harden and the Rocket offense.
He didn't actually say that. Jimmy, I wouldn't know because I don't.
Jimmy Butler, Jeff Teague, and Karl Anthony Towns are all very, very good. This goes 7, and every Rocket should be concerned. You heard it here first.
I'm going to have to mute you too
because it's just getting too freaking crazy. Dude, back away. There's a secret plan to stop James Harden. Okay. All right.
The secret plan should be just double him high and force the ball out of his hands early in the possession. Or not even early in the possession. If James starts yo-yoing it a little bit and doesn't get rid of it, you go take it out of his hands with about 12 seconds to go and force the Rockets out of their rhythm offensively. The difference is you got Chris Paul, who's a real point guard anyway. Yeah. So as long as you get in his hands, you're going to be okay.
But the Rockets are better with the ball in James's hands. He proved that with his scoring and his assists.
That's why you should take it out of his
hands. And, oh, by the way, Jimmy Butler does do a good job on him on the perimeter. However, Jimmy Butler has been in games where James Harden scored 30 this year. So, that whole secret plan thing. Now, I know Tom Thibodeau is a genius, a defensive genius, except they give up 107 a game. You know, other than that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is they're not a great defensive team.
No, they're not.
And the Rockets are a better defensive team. So this one, there's a reason the Rockets have been smacking Minnesota around. Minnesota just doesn't match up great with the Rockets. And Karl Anthony Towns, you know, when you have to rely, when your best player is a post player nowadays, your pace isn't typically going to be, it's hard to get the most out of them with playing a high pace. And Tom Thibodeau doesn't fit a team as a pace team, so it's got to be a grinder team, and his team's not grinding.
No.
So, and, I mean, you know.
And the Rockets beat them with math. I mean, one of our guys, he used to be an intern here. Now he does stuff for, I forgot what he does, Ali. He just pointed out the numbers, the number of threes made by the Rockets against Minnesota as compared to the other way. It's it just blows Minnesota out of the water. So you just watch the games the four times they played. The Rockets would beat Minnesota consistently with math. Yeah, sure, Carl Anthony Towns beat us inside for a couple buckets, but we'll just hit three threes on you, and we still win that thing 9-4. They beat them with math.
Right.
The Minnesota doesn't shoot enough or make enough threes to beat the Rockets.
It really is. It is. When you hear it explained like that, you know, when it's out there, because that's what the Rockets believe in. They just believe in, if we shoot a certain percentage and we do certain things, add more possessions by getting better, more steals, more offensive rebounds than the opposition. Like there's small things to increase their possessions. It really turns into who has the most possessions, because the more possessions the Rockets get, and the more their math beats your math from a 3-point standpoint, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And it does. I know it can be a little confusing, and you just think it can't be that simple. But really, if they're shooting well, you're not going to beat them. And that includes the Warriors. Nobody's going to beat them if the Rockets are shooting well, but they don't always shoot well. And we've seen that, really, I think, the last 20 games. We've seen that best shooting can be suspect. The reason it's different this year, and that's always been the case, the reason it's different this year is they can defend. They keep teams under 100 on a pretty regular basis. So they can win even when they're not shooting well. In the past, if they got a good team and they weren't shooting well, they weren't going to win. Not consistently, that's for sure.
Do you want any ugly games here? I don't think so.
Nope. I want to take care of this one quick.
No. I'm talking about low-scoring defensive battles.
Oh.
I think that favors Minnesota, if you want to know the truth.
I think it favors Houston based on the plus-minus and the defense. I mean, both teams are... If you look at the offense and defense, it favors Houston.
You look at their games, though. They were 120 to 108.
Minnesota has a better shot. That's because Minnesota doesn't defend.
And those numbers on the threes at Rockets_insider, Ali... He put it out there 21 hours or so ago. In the matchups, the Rockets made 69 threes to Minnesota's 34. And they shot over 43% from three, while Minnesota shot just under 37%. So 69, you can do the math.
It's a really good three-point percentage. I don't know that I would expect them to shoot 43.
But even just the number of made threes, they actually doubled Minnesota up in threes made in their four games.
Do they play as loose and freestyling as they did in the regular season? I think that, you know what, you tighten up, your rotation is smaller. I don't know that
more
you should play
the
same.
More of the good players stay in.
Yeah.
You have less of the not as good players.
And there's enough time off in between games, yeah. So you're not going to get tired.
That's not even a factor. What are you turning into, Ken McDougal over there in that seat?
No, I think
you're reaching for finding things that are a problem. I don't think...
No, I hope, what my hope is that they don't tighten up, because this is the playoffs. I hope they keep on playing the kind of ball that they played all season long.
I think they will.
I hope they will.
I don't know that Minnesota... I mean, when is Minnesota going to play really good basketball? They haven't done it all year. Well, aren't we worried about them not ever playing good basketball?
They were playing really good basketball.
Not relative to being a top team.
Until Jimmy Butler got hurt.
Relative to being a top team.
No, but they were the third best team in the West for a while until Jimmy Butler got hurt.
But third best, we already know, has forever been way behind the Warriors and Rockets. Warriors fell off.
I just
don't think it's a good matchup. They're not a Thibodeau grinder team. And yeah, it's better for them if the score is low, because the Rockets are a better, you know.
Well, that's what I said.
I
want to see the Rockets freewheeling and going.
Minnesota, like they're going to win just because it's
a lower.
I didn't
say that. I said the Rockets want to play. I didn't say that.
You said it favors the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I did not say that. It favors anybody. I never used the word favors.
I swear to God we can. Yeah.
I said which style of game would be better. And the style of game that would be better for the Rockets would be the kind of ball that they played all year.
Obviously, you want to blow teams out. That's a given. But I don't think the Rockets are not. They've really changed. They're not a pace team like they've been anymore. Their style of basketball is a lot different. I mean, they play a lot more half court basketball than they ever have.
Yeah, they used a lot of shot clock, and they still scored points because of their 3-point ability. They still scored a bunch of points, and they slowed the game down. They did. They slowed the game down a bunch.
A lot compared to what they used to be.
However, I still want them to play the way that they were playing. I still want them to freewheel with three. I'm hoping that they still are freewheeling on three-pointers. And, by the way, you know, Gerald Green played a big role this year. I'm hoping that he's going to be part of the rotation. You know.
Are you?
Yeah, I think Gerald Green should be part. Well, without Bob Mute,
I think you give it a little test and just, it's probably, he's going to have to.
He's going to have to.
But with Gerald Green, I'm like, check in. I'm interested to see what happens these first two or three minutes.
He gave him a boost quite a bit this year.
No question. But in the first 3 minutes, you know which Gerald Green is there.
Right. But, okay, so you can go, that Gerald Green's here tonight.
But I don't know
come
how
on
much.
Off the, now, if Gerald Green that was all of a sudden you're like, holy Gerald crap, Green. Look at Gerald Green. If that dude shows up, you're like, hey, that's a big boost for the club. Especially, you know, that bench that is, you know, Gordon is going to be, it's going to be obvious. It's going to be Gordon. What kind of role does Ryan Anderson play?
I'm not sure. He's the same. Well, you can
now,
treat
he
him
did,
the same
did have
way
a big
now.
Game against Minnesota this year.
Yeah, but you can treat him the same way. If you're making from three, and by the way, he doesn't shoot well at home. So, you know, maybe you use him on the road. But with Ryan Anderson, you basically say, well, if he's feeling it, and you know quickly on Ryan Anderson, too, unfortunately, you know him, too.
Well, this is like Giles with AJ. But you know what? We don't believe in him, but the coach and the manager do. You know what? He's going to keep going to Ryan because for whatever reason, he goes to Ryan Anderson.
What's Ryan Anderson's
he's been hurt. So.
Well, I mean, but what was it when they his minutes were still higher than you would think, but
it was higher than anybody any fan wanted them to be.
Well, yeah, that's the same thing with like Ken Giles.
That's right. He's got more appearances than any fan wants him to have. Yes.
When he was healthy, it was 11, 17, 9, 20, 34 when there was an injury, 0, 23, and 17.
Without Bamute, there's a chance the dude plays a bunch now.
Yeah, and even when he was coming off the bench, 30. Well, wasn't he still on the bench in February or no? Maybe he wasn't. 30, 22. Yeah, he was, I think. 26, 21, 20, 20. That was a ton of wins, though. I think that was during the win streak.
He was
coming off the bench.
That's when he was a plus minus.
This is when he was off
genius.
When he was off the bench. 22, 26, 21, 20, and 20.
Hmm? That's a lot of minutes. That's almost half a game.
And if he's making threes, that's great. In this particular stretch, he was making threes. If he's not, you don't have to play him. Maybe Nene plays more because you got Karl Anthony Towns. I think you mentioned it yesterday. Nene will probably play
more. He probably will.
He's probably going to play more than we've seen him. Yep. I hope he's still. Is he still
alive? Yes.
Yeah.
He's alive.
Has anyone checked on Nene?
No, he's alive. We didn't get any reports. Mark Berman has not reported anything.
I would rather have a veteran banger than Tarik Black as a second option.
Yeah. Yep. All right, 731 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. We got to talk right now about Renter's Warehouse and the greatness that is Renter's Warehouse and what Rich Drake and all the guys over there are doing and gals are doing at Renter's Warehouse. Look, this is a great time for you to get out of that house. Or maybe you have to get out of that house. Maybe you have to move. And by the way, I don't have time to sell my house, or I'm not getting anywhere close to what I deserve in my house for my house. Well, that's what Renter's Warehouse is here for. How about you keep that house, you keep that asset that you have, and you rent it out and let somebody else pay for that asset. This is how people build wealth. Other people paying for their assets.
When someone else is paying for your home, you're building equity. So more of your house is getting paid off. And that means that when you do sell your home, more of your house is going to pay you off. And that's great. And when you have someone like Renter's Warehouse who will warranty renters for a full year, when you have somebody like Renter's Warehouse who will take care of leaky faucets or faulty garage doors or things like that, when you have someone who will manage your property and find you renters and get people in your home on average within 17 days, that makes it so much easier. And it's for one low monthly fee. Go to renterswarehouse.com and find out what your house will rent for today or call 713-224-RENT.
ESPN 97.5. It's amazing. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm retired.
Manny says, forget Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler. You got to look for some guy some random guy that's going to have blow up and have a huge game.
Hey, why is Tyus Jones averaging 18 points in the series? What the hell?
I think Derrick Rose might have a huge.
If the Rockets lose this series, I won't talk about him.
Do you realize that Derrick Rose was a T-Wolf?
Yes, I do. Because he was in the last game with the Rockets.
Derrick Rose was actually on this team this year.
I know that.
What if he comes back from the dead?
Seriously, that is really a kind of a sad story. Like, I hate when you have a great player. Terrell Davis was a guy whose career was cut short because of injury. It really does stink. Remember when we watched him here? Early stages of 1560. And we went when they were here, when Memphis was here. And watching him, where we got to sit right near the court.
Yep.
And watching him operate, I remember coming back in doing a show like, it's not Beasley. This guy's the first pick. Because Beasley was kind of everyone, Michael Beasley. And then we realized, Derrick Rose is the best player in college basketball. He was incredible seeing him close up. And he was an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of got upset by, was it the Celtics?
It was the first year of the Big Three in Miami. The Bulls were the number one seed. Yeah. Derrick Rose won the MVP. LeBron and the Heat beat him in five.
That's what it was. And then he got hurt. Who are other guys like that? Had careers cut short. What about baseball? Anybody? I mean, he had Kirby Puckett, but he was around for a little while, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Kirby had a pretty long. He still had a pretty long career.
He had 3,000.
J.R. Richard, if you go way back for the, that's about the same level. I mean, we're talking about a dominant player in J.R. Richard and a dominant player in Derrick Rose, but it just doesn't happen. I don't think it happens that often. Astros have had some bad luck. Remember that kid Hernandez, the left-hand pitcher who hurt himself sliding? He was supposed to be one of their best pitchers in the minor leagues.
Well, even more than Terrell Davis, Gale Sayers was the original guy.
Yeah, Gale Sayers was
unbelievable, and then the knees.
Tony Boselli would be on that list. I mean, Tony Boselli is one of the best left tackles, and he might have been the best left tackle in football. And his career was ruined by a shoulder injury; he couldn't come back from.
And Joel Blank chimed
JJ Watt.
No, that's not the case.
J.J. Rose? It's not J.J. Rose?
No, it's not J.J. Rose. Shut your face.
Dell, is it J.J. Rose?
God.
About 5 years in?
Why?
Is it?
J.J. Rose is what he's calling him.
You better hope it's J.J. Rose.
I better hope.
Hopefully it's not J.J. Newton.
Oh, my God.
Well, don't go that bad.
What? Walking along and both knees exploded? Wow. That?
Charles
who they
Spencer?
Just released, by the way?
Yeah. Mayor Charles Spencer?
Charles.
Looked
oh
like
my
a
God.
Third rounder who looked like he was going to be a Pro Bowler right off the bat. Is like, holy crap, this guy's good. And then Ron Dane kicks him so hard in the leg, it ruins his career.
Fat Ron Dane ran up on him.
J.J. Joppru.
Oh my God,
no.
J.J. Joppru never saw the field.
J.J. Rose, at least. Rose was an MVP. J.J.'s three-time. It's J.J. Rose. And I don't even want it to be J.J. Rose. I want it to be comeback player of the year, J.J. Watt.
That's the worst
with 14 sacks.
Heard.
Well,
that's the worst.
Good luck with that.
Joel Blank says it could be Jamal Crawford, who is a Rocket killer, by the way, is the guy who could be to go off in this series. What about Taj Gibson going off?
No.
Well, he'll be an annoyance. I don't know.
What about P.J. Tucker's going to be all up in his kitchen.
I've never seen a player shoot as frequently as Jamal Crawford. I remember when he was with the Knicks, I thought, this might be the most hogginest-ass player I've ever seen. I mean, he was firing from 27 feet.
More than J.R. Smith?
We're in the same. I think they're on the same team, actually.
Good Lord. They probably punched each other for the basketball at midcourt.
Jamal Crawford has had. Minnesota, the Clippers. Jamal Crawford does scare me, but only because he's kind of like Gerald Green, where he can go off out of nowhere. But you think it's going to be. I don't know.
Jeff Teague could go off.
Well, I can't believe we're talking about an 8 seed beating the Rockets.
No one said that.
We're not talking about them winning. We're talking about
respect
your opponent. Put some respect on them.
No, I'm not going to put any respect on their name.
Okay, some respect on them. If you don't respect them, then guess what? What happens?
They're the poors of the NBA too.
They're the poors. The Rockets better take care of that business.
They're the
is
poors.
What they better
what do
be.
They have? 47 wins, 46 wins.
It's not 66 now, is it? Or 65?
46
whatever.
Wins. The Rockets in their worst season will have 46 wins.
All I'm saying is. When Dirk and his team won 60 games, and everyone was like, "Ah, Golden State, you're the poors."
You got to go back to then and then go, oh, and then Denver.
Well, first time
you weren't even born when Denver beat Seattle.
Yes, I was. First time MVP. Remember Dirk was the MVP that year. Like, we got, Golden State, you guys are the poorest. I'm just saying, respect your opponent, Lance.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah,
put some
respect on him.
I'll put this much respect on him. They might get a game.
They might. If it ain't five games, I'll be disappointed.
Have the Rockets done enough? I know the regular season they've been great. Dismiss everybody else? That's where we're at Rocket fandom?
I would in the first round, except for the fact that I am a lifelong Houston sports fan, so there's always a fear.
Which should teach you. You should know better.
This is bluster. This is just bluster
on this
side of the mic.
Trying to make yourself feel better than you really are?
Yes. It's a false confidence. I'm peacocking. Okay. And the second thing is, but I'm not Brad peacocking because I just don't want to be used that much. And the second thing is, I don't...
Why is AJ Smith treating Brad Peacock like a cheap whore? Hey, I need you again. Hey, stop talking.
What's with the booty calls? Like, again?
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 I'm tired.
Again?
Again? Hey, by the way, are you done yet? Okay, I gave you an inning. Are you done?
No. Not are you done yet. Not the dreaded, can you hurry up? I think somebody's about to turn the lights off here in Minute Maid Park.
Oh, my God. Greeny's got LeBron James as his MVP.
That's just Troll Hard 2000.
Oh, my God. That is
ESPN is the nut ridingest place you're going to find. They've been on his sack forever. He's got a tattoo right there.
Honestly, do you think that he may have come on now and James is going to get screwed again?
No, but I think it will be closer than it should be.
Maybe people looked at that Kill Bill type photo shoot. Have you seen James and GQ? Maybe people. Okay, that's enough.
Yellow. James is color.
Oh my God,
he's
where
color
that picture
Russian.
Is that where that picture of him in the sequin shorts comes from?
Yeah, the GQ story.
It's
in GQ. So look at this. James is color rushing. Look at this.
You see the NFL's getting rid of color
rushing? They're getting rid of color rush.
That made me sad. I actually like the color
rush. I like color rush, too. Like, I want to see the Jags regular uniforms. They suck.
They're getting new.
I love the ketchup bottles we wear.
Of course, they're getting new ones.
The Jags are getting new uniforms.
Of course they are.
Like the Titans did. But the only time the Texans actually looked good was in those colors.
Color rush.
I know. I like the color rush. All blue or all ketchup.
I love that.
Now,
it took some getting used to.
Yeah, but
look at this, James. No, you know what? This James needs to be. Do you see that?
What is that?
It's clashing, whatever it is. James bought an outfit that would match the background of whatever. It's very colorful.
He looks like he's. He's just blending right into the back. So, I'm not. James will be fine in those guys. I'm really, like I said, if they lose in the first round,
I don't expect that to happen.
Who should win MVP, LeBron James or James Harden? I told you this would happen. I told you these national media,
they
can't stand not having LeBron James on their lips.
There's nothing to talk about. They have to do this.
So I got trolled yesterday with the stats of the check, and LeBron checked every stat box, points, rebounds, assists, field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, minutes, games played, triple doubles. Yeah, what about team record? You didn't put that in there, did you?
No.
What about average points per game? You didn't put that in there, did you, Carl?
Well, yeah.
Who's the MVP?
Everybody.
Wait a minute. If it's all about stats, then Russ Westbrook should win.
Well,
he's a triple double.
Well, obviously, those numbers are a little disingenuous because Harden played 72 games and LeBron, I think, played all 82, so the numbers are going to skew in terms of overall numbers
right.
in LeBron's favor. I do think it's funny we pick whatever narrative we choose just to make us feel better because the last time, well, I'm a baller. Remember James? He's like, I'm a baller. I'm going to play all 82. Was that a couple years ago or was that last year when they were trying
James
to
James is going
to
play. James typically will play
all
82.
I'm just saying in terms of his MVP candidacy, I don't know if it was last year or the year before where they were discussing, I'm playing every game.
I
need to play every game because I should be clearly the MVP. It just depends on which side you're
right.
on.
I'm honest about it. Steph Curry should have been the MVP. Russell Westbrook finished down the stretch and he should have been MVP. And this year James should. I mean,
yes,
and
he
I'm
should.
Just using I'm just using the decades old formula of if you are one of the top players in the league and you're on a team that is the best or even substantially the best, and you are at a very high level, you're usually the MVP.
That works that way in every sport. But here's the problem is Daryl didn't pine for him this year at all.
Well, because I think they think that it should speak for itself.
And they didn't campaign enough. And if they didn't campaign enough, this is on you, Daryl Morey. You campaigned hard the last few years, and James lost out. This year, no campaigning, and he's going to lose out again to LeBron. Because no one campaigned for himself more than LeBron James. Every game, how great he is, how he's this is the best he's ever played, how wonderful he is, what a wonderful person he is. He campaigned for this damn thing, and he's going to beat James out, thanks to you,
all those things,
Daryl Morey.
All those things you said about him are true. He probably is the best he's ever been, but he's not winning the MVP.
Oh, watch. Mike Greenberg just had him as his MVP.
I don't think he'll win the MVP either. I think you gotta go, and unless they're all voters from like Dime Magazine and ESPN and just like all new media voters who openly pine, who wear LeBron's to the voting, LeBron's shoes to the voting booth. But I don't think he's gonna.
I don't think so either. All right, let's break. JJ Ming, Grant Hill, Watt.
No. I don't want JJ Ming.
JJ Ming.
J.J. McGrady?
Oh, God. No.
J.J.
They're all Houston
Mark
guys.
Mark Pryor?
I know.
We have had a bad run of guys who get injured.
Yeah. Now stop with this stuff. Stop already. All right.
J.J. Ming and J.J. Newton is the worst.
That's the worst. 713-780-3776. Come on in.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 751, ESPN 97.5.
Let's just take all calls today.
Either that or just do crazy stories. How about this one? This is awesome. A high school teacher arrested for running a fight club in his classroom. This is the guy. But look at him. He looks like one of the students.
Oh, my God.
Look at him. He's 23. He was 22.
Oh, okay.
Well, he was 22 when he was arrested. A substitute teacher. And when he came in, he would come in and go, all right, who wants to fight? All right.
What do you mean?
He is seen in some
videos.
Tell
me the whole story.
So he actively encouraged them to fight in the classroom. In some of the videos that were shot of him, two students appeared to be unevenly matched, were seen violently slap fighting by throwing open hand strikes to each other's face and head, while Fish and other students were seen hollering and cheering them on. In one video clip, Fish, who's the teacher, was heard giving directions to the two students who were fighting. In another one, he was seen moving a trash can out of the way to allow the teens to continue fighting. He's also seen smiling and laughing behind his desk during the fights. Another video showed him just mulling through some paperwork at his desk while two students were violently slapping each other.
Where are these videos? Daryl Morey's on right now.
Oh, did he campaign?
You know what he's saying? I think Mike Greenberg needs to EAD.
Whoa, he did not say EAD.
Well, in an analytical way, he might.
Well, let's get this sound of Daryl and what he's saying. He can't be happy with Mike Greenberg's LeBron James pick for MVP. Anyway, I want to be in this school with this teacher. I do. That would be so much. How much fun would it be to have Fight Club in your class? I don't even know what class. They didn't even mention what he's teaching. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's a substitute. He's not teaching anything. You know what I loved? When we got the substitute who didn't care, and you knew right off the bat, like, please don't let this be a sub who's going to try to make us better. Like, just let this be somebody. Oh, good. They're wheeling in a TV.
Oh, my God. This is nice.
Go ahead.
One teen told authorities that Fish talked to his students about smoking weed and trying other drugs, and that he allowed students to draw pictures on the board that depicted Fish and other male teachers giving doing ugly stuff to giving where they, I can't say this. It rhymes with Malatio.
No, no.
Yes.
Oh, what a heartbreaking commentary by you.
Well, this is that he allowed the students to draw pictures on the board of that.
That is a different kind of substitute. Here's something I want to open the boards up to. Not Astros, not Rockets. I want to hear about substitute teacher stories. 713-780-3776. Or if you were a substitute teacher. I want substitute teacher stories. Here's why. I had one in high school. I'll never forget Mr. McDaniel's class. He was out, and we had a sub come in. And you know what the sub did? He told us a story about getting super drunk, and his dad, he was on a farm. And his dad knew he had been super drunk because I think in this story he ran his car into a, he didn't remember it, but he ran his car into the mailbox. And his dad woke him up, made him a breakfast with fried eggs and fried bacon, his big breakfast, acted like he didn't know he was drunk, put him on a tractor at like 7 in the morning and had him work out in the sun. It was a hot summer day, just had him working out in the sun with a greasy breakfast on his gut. And he was telling us like, I was so wasted. It was like we're 17. Like, really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm out there, and I'm on a tractor, and you know, and I know, I'm like, does my dad know how hungover I am? I can't figure it out. And he told me later. So at one point, I had to get off the tractor and just start vomiting, and I started puking all over the place. And he's just telling us this, and we're like, this is great. We're not having to do any work. And he's just telling us about when his dad busted him.
That's the best.
And then finally his dad said, next time, don't have so much a drink. Or that was the moral of his story, I guess. And I just thought, this is what subs should do.
But is there anything better than that greasy breakfast when you're...
If it comes at 10:30 or 11... Yeah. Not at 6 in the morning.
I love that.
When you go to bed at 3 and you wake up at 6?
That's the best.
You can do that. Most humans can't do that. Well, I've seen you do it.
By the way, I met with a client. I don't know why. I'm a little offended. But he's got pills. Thrive Plus, it's called. Hangover pills. Mm-hmm. Guess what I took last night? And guess how I feel today?
What did you do? You're not supposed to be drinking now.
What are you talking about? Lent's over.
I know. I'm just tricking you.
Oh, because if it's not, I'm in trouble. Because ever since Lent ended, I don't think I've had a day.
No.
Good Lord. But Thrive Plus, you think I don't feel great today?
So you had to test it.
I tested it.
You were just testing
it. I'm just doing it for the people. I'm a company guy.
So Nikki, not my wife, Nikki says, rhymes with Malatio? Laughing emoji. Then she said, we made every new sub cry for 4 years straight with a great prank. Well, then you need to call in and tell us what the prank was. Let's get Craig in here real quick before we go to a break. He's got a sub teacher story. What's up, Craig?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I was going to say, we used to mistreat our poor subs back when I was growing up. And it was just a series of never-ending pranks against the subs. So, you know, I'm not at all surprised that this sub was just checked out. Like, one of our favorite pranks, one of our go-tos, you know, we would wait. We would all settle on a very specific time. Let's say, you know, it would be like at 8:36. Like, the second that the clock hit 8:36, like, everybody in the classroom would just simultaneously, you know, pick a textbook and drop it on the floor. So, just out of the blue, for no reason, it'd just be like, kaboom, you know. And the sub would, you know, jump and go crazy, you know, get super mad at everybody. And then the kids would, you know, of course, claim it was just an accident, you know, the book just happened to fall off the desk of everybody at the same time, or we'd have extra kids, you know, on the roll, you know, who weren't actually there, and, you know, everybody would pretend to be different people, and, you know, we had, you know, of course, the old standby, you know, good old Seymour Butts, and, you know, some of the, you know, names of extra students who were in the classroom that, of course, then the sub would call the roll with those names on it, and I mean, we just, you know, it's just a series of silliness, you know, that kids would do to the subs. But like I said, it's not at all surprising that the subs would just sort of want to sit back with their feet up and let the kids run amok.
Well, Fight Club, though, is taking Fight Club is kicking it up a notch, though. Not that I have anything against it. I wanted to be in that class.
Well, when he was asked about why he did it, he said he told the police, I wanted to befriend the students.
Yeah.
He also confirmed he's an idiot and immature.
Right. He also said, I grew up on a farm, and that's what we did there. We fought.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I grew up on a farm and we fought on the farm.
Yeah.
That was his.
That's what boys do.
Did they have a school on your farm?
Well, the school marm apparently couldn't keep control of her class. They were fighting in class.
The guy says he wasn't the ringleader. He goes, "I didn't set up these fights, but I did egg them on."
Yeah, I guess.
He goes, "Hey, dude, go ahead, do what you got
to
do."
Instead of moving the trash can for those guys to have room to fight, maybe you stop. I don't know. You stop it.
Look, if you're a sub and like you got a whole group of kids who want to fight, is it really your place? And be like, "Hey guys,
he's just trying to get out of there.
Trying to get out of here."
The problem is this video thing age we live in. There's proof that
never
the dude was hollering and screaming.
Never would have got out back in the day. It just would have been a story.
Hey, the 2018 season is here. It starts Friday, April 27th. That's right. It is Skeeter Bowl.
We're going to be actually broadcasting out there on some of the day games.
Yeah, right? We do. We will be. And it's going to be awesome. And we want you to get on out to Constellation Field the 27th. They've got the schedule, magnet schedules. They've got fireworks. The 28th is a Saturday. Skeeter's hat giveaway, April 28th. You've got Strikeout Autism. Hope for three first Sunday fun day of the season. And pregame catch on the field and player autographs. Always a great way to wait a minute. The best thing is the kids, okay? There's places out, even for babies, there's the little swing sets that you can put the kids on. But they are always occupied with those inflatable jump things.
Yeah, there's so much stuff for the kids.
Swimming pools.
But you know what's fun is that they have a kid section that they basically quarantine off. Yeah, like, you're out there behind center field, kids.
Right.
And then everyone else has, you actually have a lot of different types of beers out there. You've got beer specials. You've got food specials. You've got, they have something literally every single game. They have something going on. So it's grown-up time. You got family time. Your business clientele, you can rent a suite. I mean, there's really something for everyone there. It's an easy drive to Constellation Field. Check them out for yourself by going online and checking out the Skeeters. But I can tell you this. For the price, it is tremendous enjoyment. And get inside the Insperity Club, too. You can buy your way into the Insperity Club. Food is fantastic there.
SugarlandSkeeters.com. The Skeeter season is upon us. SugarlandSkeeters.com.
ESPN 97.5.